Our scripture readings tonight are found in Exodus chapter 10, commencing at verse 21, and will be ending at verse 29. And also Psalm 105, and we will be commencing at verse 26. So Exodus chapter 10, commencing at verse 21. The Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven. There was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place, for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herd be stead. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. And then Psalm 105, and commencing at verse 26. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them, and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness, and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood, and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance, in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies, and lice, and all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain, and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also, and their fig trees, brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came, and caterpillars, and that without number. And it ate up all the herbs in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. Ending reading at verse 36, knowing of assurance the Lord himself would add his blessing to his holy and inspired word.
A lot of people seem to be afflicted with flus and colds and coughs, and I'm afraid I'm no exception. I had a sore throat during the week. My wife gave me honey and lemon and hot water, and I thought I was in very good shape for today, and came quite confidently this morning, and not expecting my voice to crackle. But it happened very suddenly this morning, and I can only say that I was glad I wasn't preaching. I was delighted the moderator was here, and he was the preacher this morning. However, with God's help and by his grace, I'm sure we'll get along all right this evening. We're going to open our Bibles at Exodus chapter 10, and we're going to consider that passage that was read to us a little while ago. Let us just bow together for a word of prayer as we ask the help of the Lord. O God, our gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious and holy word. We bless Thee for Thy truth. O God, help us to take Thy word and help us to let it be our only infallible rule of faith and of practice. Teach us from Thy word tonight. And O God, let us not be like Pharaoh with a stubborn and rebellious heart. But O God, melt our hearts and soften our hearts that we might not only hear but feel the word of God and its impact upon us. And grant that tonight precious souls will be won for Christ and saved forevermore. To this end, grant us Thy help. O God, Thou art almighty and all-powerful. Take Thy word and bless it to us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we move on to consider the ninth plague, we see that it came upon the land of Egypt without any warning. The effect of this plague of darkness came right across the entire land, and it is vividly described as a darkness that could be felt. If you see verse 21, you will see that even darkness which may be felt. This darkness was total, and it covered all Egypt for 3 whole days. No one could see anything. No one moved from his place. And while that was going on amongst the dwellings and in the land of Egypt, the place of Goshen and the homes of the Israelites had light in their dwellings. This plague of darkness, which was brought upon Egypt, was one of the most dreadful of the plagues. So much so that it is put first in our second Bible reading in Psalm 105 and verse 28. Even though this plague was among the last to be delivered to the land of Egypt, yet the Holy Spirit puts it first here in the psalmist's list. Furthermore, the destruction of the spiritual Egypt is brought about in the book of the Revelation, chapter 16 and verse 10, where we read about the fifth vial. That vial, pardon me, is poured out upon the seat of the beast of Antichrist. And we're told in that verse that his kingdom, like the kingdom of Egypt, is indeed a kingdom of darkness. Egypt, as we read about it here, and then we could say the days preceding the Great Reformation of the 16th century, these are all days that are a prelude to the darkness of the kingdom of Antichrist and to the density of that darkness. And as the Bible speaks about eternal darkness, calling it outer darkness, what a darkness that will be for all eternity. The darkness of Egypt was total darkness. Verse 23 tells us that they saw not one another. Even the very lights of heaven went out, and all the flickering candles and the fires of the Egyptians went out, and there was not even a spark to shine in the midst of the darkness. This darkness was total. It was great. It was dense. It was a darkness that could be felt. Oh, the feeling of darkness all around. How great and how terrible and how fearful is that darkness. This kind of darkness threatens all the wicked. In the book of Job, chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, we read some very interesting words. It says, "Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him." What a picture of the darkness of the wicked, of the habitation of the sinner, of the eternity that awaits the ungodly. What a bleak, what a black picture. Not even a spark to lighten the way. Not even a flickering candle to show light in the midst of the density of the darkness. In Isaiah chapter 50 and in the verse 11, we read these words, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow." And the word there for sorrow can be translated darkness. And it is a word which indicates that it is a sorrow caused by darkness. My dear friend, this is a description of the death of the ungodly, the death of the wicked, of those who die without Christ. The light is a candle, and that candle flickers. It goes out. The light of a candle shall shine no more at all, says God in thee. Though not even by the light of a candle, in the darkness of hell, in the darkness of eternity. This was a darkness that could be felt. That's what we read here in our Bible reading. So thick was this darkness that it could be felt by the fingers, by the hands. So bad was it, it could be felt by the very eyes. And these eyes were made sore in the darkness. And with the rubbing of the sore eyes, the sore and the pain was made worse. Great pain is spoken of by the effect of this darkness. And my dear friend, is it not telling us something and showing us something of the great darkness of the unbeliever in hell? How such darkness will be felt. It will be awesome. It will be terrible. It will be sore. It will be painful. And as there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in the darkness of hell, my, that will aggravate the pain. It will aggravate the suffering as we seek to scratch and men seek to rub those painful sores, only causing them to be worse. In Revelation 16 and verse 10, we've referred to this already. We read there that the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. My friend, does that not back up what the Lord Jesus Christ told us when he was preaching here upon earth, of the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of the teeth? No doubt, it astonished the terrified people of Egypt, this density of darkness which fell upon them, the cloud of locusts which had darkened the land before this plague came. The eighth plague, the one before this one, was the plague of locusts. And they came in over the land in such thick droves that they were like clouds blocking out the rays of the sun. And so great were the locusts that the land was darkened by the density of the numbers of locusts that swept across the land of Egypt. But that darkness caused by the locusts and the destruction caused by the locusts was nothing in comparison to the plague of darkness, the feeling of darkness in the land of Egypt. Traditional Jewish historians, they tell us that this darkness amongst the people was terrifying. Terrifying and made worse by the appearance of evil spirits, by the coming of dreadful sounds, and even by the dreadful murmurs which the people themselves made because they were under such a burden of darkness that they groaned and murmured and made noises which even frightened themselves. They were frightened by the horrors of their own consciences. What a dreadful darkness came across the land of Egypt. And my friend, we speak about this plague tonight, hoping, and it is our prayer and the prayer of others as well, that God might speak to you if you're still in your sin, if you're still without God and without hope. For you don't know how soon the brittle thread of life might snap as far as you're concerned. I said that I came this morning feeling in good shape. And as we were praying in our opening prayer, suddenly my voice began to give way. The thread began to break. Listen, my friend, in life it could be like that. You may have come to this house of God in good health. You may rise up tomorrow morning feeling well. But before darkness falls, the brittle thread could snap. You might not just be as well as you think. And it may be that soon the place that knows you now may know you no more forever and forever. And if you die in your sin without Christ, without the gospel in your soul, my friend, what I have been describing to you already tonight will be your lot, will be your destination, will be your place for all of God's eternity. I pray and ask and plead with you tonight to flee from the wrath which is to come. Start for heaven. The moderator, Dr. Paisley, was with us this morning, and he was speaking about the way of the cross. My friend, let me tell you, there's no other way to heaven. He was telling us about that way. And I'm glad that Christ Jesus died on the cross. He suffered that my darkness might be dispelled, that my pain forever might be removed, that I might be brought out of darkness into God's most marvelous light. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, as he walked the streets of Palestine, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And oh friend, tonight we say to you, there's light on the horizon for you. Look to yonder hill called Calvary. See there the man of sorrows bearing your shame on that tree. See him there suffering in your stead, hanging there in shame for you. And oh my friend, cry out in your sins, Lord, be merciful to me the sinner. And I'm glad with the assurance of the book of God before me and the word of God that I preach, that God will accept you, Jesus will receive you, and your sins will be washed away. You'll be brought out of the darkness, and you'll be set on the road of light, following the Lamb all the way to the eternal city of God, where the Lamb is the light, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. But praise God, the Lord Jesus is the light thereof. This darkness was great. In Psalm 78, verse 49, we read, he poured upon them the fierceness of his anger by sending evil angels among them. Little wonder they were frightened. Little wonder their conscience pricked them. For God sent amongst the darkness of Egypt the demons, the evil angels, the emissaries of Satan. To those to whom the devil has been a deceiver, and he was deceiving Pharaoh, he was deceiving the Egyptians, and to those to whom the devil has been a deceiver, he will in the end turn out to be a terror. My friend, it's biblically true. The devil deceived Pharaoh all these times. And the devil who deceived Pharaoh and his people turned out during 3 days of darkness to be a terror to those whom he deceived. What a tragedy. What a tragedy if you should be deceived all your life. The Bible warns, be not deceived. For God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This darkness, we're told, continued for 3 days. Bishop Hall in commenting on the darkness here. He said that it was 6 nights. 3 days equal to 6 nights on the trot. 6 nights in one. They were long, thick, darkened nights. The people were chained in the thick darkness. Even the most glorious palace of Egypt, the habitations of the king, they became perfect dungeons. The screams of hell, the darkness of eternity, the presence of the evil spirits and angels, even the most noble palace of the land was turned into a literal hell. My dear friends, as we look around us today, we see the men and the women of this world with their gold and with their silver, with their lands and with their palaces. We see them with their wealth. But how tragic to leave it all and to have it all turned into darkness, turned into the screams of eternal hell, and to become a veritable dungeon where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The people of God can sing, no matter where on earth we dwell, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Aren't you glad you've got the Savior? Aren't you glad you have Christ? Aren't you glad you have the Lord Jesus in your heart? You can say, He's mine, 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 mine. I know He is mine. What a blessed assurance. Is that your hope? Is it your assurance tonight? Oh, what a darkness was here. It says in verse 23, no man rose from his place. They were all confined to their houses, and such a terror seized them that few of them had the courage to go from the chair to the bed. Few of them had the courage to leave the bed and sit on the chair, for they didn't move. They were silent in the darkness, and they were lonely in the darkness. And they were afraid in the darkness. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 9, we read the words, He will keep the feet of His saints. Isn't that lovely? But notice the contrast. And the wicked shall be silent in the darkness. Now there's a tremendous contrast. On the one hand, we have the saints of God, the saved, who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And God promises them He'll keep their feet and they'll never slip. And praise God, they will never stumble headlong into the darkness and into the pit of hell because they're saved. But on the other hand, it says the wicked shall be silent in the darkness. That's what happened in Egypt. Now, there was silence in the homes, in the palaces, throughout the land, nothing moved. Dense darkness. A darkness that could be felt. A terror-gripping darkness that nobody moved whatsoever. Spiritual darkness is even worse. Spiritual darkness means spiritual bondage. Just like Egypt being in bondage itself to this darkness. And while Satan blinds men's eyes that they do not see, he binds their hands and their feet that they cannot move towards God. And they cannot work for God. Nor can they move one step towards heaven. The Bible speaks about them sitting in their darkness. And my dear friend, sinners sit in the darkness. And for Egypt and for Pharaoh, with this plague coming upon them, it was a righteous thing for God to punish them. Some people would criticize the Lord. They would speak against the Lord and say God was not gracious, but God was righteous in bringing such punishment upon those who rebelled against Him and sinned against His word and against the light that God had sent to them. Because Pharaoh and his magicians and his people heard the word of God. How did they hear it? They heard it through the Lord's servants, Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron were before the Lord. They were seeking God's face. They were in prayer before the King of Glory. And God Himself gave to His servants a message for the land of Egypt. And they were told to go in unto Pharaoh and to speak God's word. And they were faithful in declaring the whole counsel of God, held back in nothing, but declared the entire message that God had given to them. And Pharaoh heard the word of God from the faithful messengers of God, and he had no excuse. His magicians had no excuse. And the people of the land had no excuse. But Pharaoh and his people rebelled against the light. They cast aside the light of God's truth. And they would not hear the word of God. And so they were justly punished with darkness. For they loved darkness rather than light. Their deeds were evil. My dear friend, God will punish the sinner with darkness. Why is that? Because the principle of Scripture can never be changed. The Word of God cannot be broken. And men who love darkness rather than light will therefore, in the end, be cast out into outer darkness and will be in that darkness forever. And in the so doing of it, God will be just and God will be righteous because you have sinned against His word. You have sinned against His light and you've rebelled against His commandment. And you would not take into your soul the enlightenment that God, through His word and His servants and His messengers, have been bringing to your heart. My dear friend, this is a serious thing. This is a dreadfully serious matter. And if I were you tonight, I would be quick in running to the Savior. I would get an urgency within my bones and within my heart and a conviction within my being to run to Calvary, to hide in the wounds of the Lord Jesus, to know the covering of His blood and the cleansing of His blood and the pardon of His blood, that my sins might be put away and never to be remembered against me again. And so therefore tonight, I urge you to flee to Christ. Run to the cross. Thank God there's a Savior who, like the Father welcoming the prodigal son, He stands with open arms to receive you. And tonight, He will receive you. For to as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them
that believe on his name. The Egyptians, by their cruelty, would have extinguished the lamps of the Israelites. They would have put out the light of God's people had Pharaoh got his way. They would have extinguished the lamps in Goshen and the fires of Goshen where the Israelites dwelt. That's what they were aiming for. They wanted to quench all the light that God had given to his people in Egypt. And therefore, now there's a great change. God has put out the light of the Egyptians. Instead of the devil succeeding in destroying the people of God, God has the last word. 450 years, Israel were in bondage to the Egyptians. It seemed a long time. It seemed an endless age that God would never hear their cry, that God would look down and God wouldn't come down. But my friend, I'm glad God not only looked down from heaven. That would be enough, wouldn't it? We wouldn't even deserve that. But God has done much more than looking down to see the bondage of his people, to see the sufferings of his people. He not only looked down over the banister of heaven to behold the sons of men, to realize that they're in bondage and affliction and they need deliverance. But praise God, he came down. And at Bethlehem, over 2,000 years ago, our Savior was born. And the Lord from glory came. And praise God, he came to redeem his people from their sins. He saw you and I in the bondage of our iniquity, in the chains of our sin, in the prison house of sin. And praise God, he has come down with the key of heaven. The key also to unlock the prison house and to open the door of heaven to us. And I'm glad tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ holds that key. It's not in Peter's hand. It's not in the church's hand. We'll not find it on the communion plate or in the communion goblet, we will find it at the Savior's feet. For thank God for that hand that was nailed to the cross. That hand that was bruised for me has the key to deliver me from my sin and to open heaven that I might enter in to enjoy God for all eternity. Oh, friend, what a day it was when I was 14 years of age, when God brought me out of the darkness of my sin and brought me into the light of his wonderful salvation. Are you praising God for that experience? Are you thankful for it tonight? Praise God. It's something that is real. And you'll notice in the last verses of this portion of Scripture we read, when Pharaoh's heart was hardened, verse 27, he said unto Moses, "Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die." Look what Moses said. Look at it carefully. And Moses said, "Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more." What a tragedy befalls ungodly Pharaoh. Trying, as it were, to frighten Moses, even with the sentence of death. And that if he ever came back near the palace, he was going to be killed. You'll see me no more, Moses. Oh, here is the fierceness of the heart of a man who rejects God and rebels against God's word. He even would kill the servants of Christ and put to death those who have the message of deliverance. That's what happened in Reformation times. And friend, it's happening in countries still, Muslim countries, happening in Roman Catholic countries throughout the world, happening in Mexico, it's happening in Saudi Arabia, it's happening in different parts of the world where God's people have to go underground. And those that are apprehended by the authorities are either imprisoned or even worse. They are put to death for the gospel's sake. Now here is Moses threatened with this very thing. But Moses was wiser than Pharaoh, because the wisdom of God dwelt upon him and was in his heart. And Moses was able to say, I will see thy face no more. Well, not alive anyway. Because we know what happened later. Following the death of the firstborn and the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, how that Pharaoh and his armies and his people, having changed their minds yet again and letting Israel go, ran after them in an effort to seize them and to bring them back into Egyptian bondage. And as he pursued God's people through the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his host, God miraculously brought again the waters that were walled up on either side. And speaking alive, Moses never saw the face of Pharaoh alive. But I'm sure he saw the face of that wicked man as he lay a corpse on the shores of the Dead Sea. My friend, the wheels of God may grind slowly, but they do grind surely. The day of judgment will come. God said it would come all these 10 times, and it came. And God took Moses at his word, or Pharaoh at his word, when he didn't want to see the face of God's servant anymore. God took him at his word. He had sinned for the last time against the Word of God. He had sinned against the light of God's message for the last time. And no more would the Spirit of God strive with Pharaoh. No more would the Spirit of God strive with Egypt. His last opportunity is past. He's as good as a doomed man. And soon, Pharaoh is experiencing the greater darkness of which this plague was a prelude a short time earlier. Oh, my friend, again I call you to repentance and ask you now, in the solemnity of these closing minutes of this service, to think of where you're going to spend eternity. And to turn now and to seek the Lord while he is to be found. And to call upon him while he's near. May the wicked man confess his sins and forsake them. And turn unto the Lord. For God is a God who will abundantly pardon. Thank God tonight there's forgiveness with the Lord. May God be pleased to bless his word. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. O gracious God and our Father in heaven, we just ask thee now to bless thy word to us as we have been considering it. And Lord, be pleased to write the message which thou hast given for tonight, just as thou didst give it for Moses in his day. Lord, let there not be a man who, like Pharaoh, will harden his heart. But, O God, while they hear thy voice, and thou art graciously still dealing with them, may they turn and by faith receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. We ask it in his name. Amen.